What you're about to see this morning, I want to make this really very clear. I don't want to sound like Kamala Harris, because every other word was, I want to be clear about this, but I do want to be clear about what you're about to see here. This is a historical PowerPoint presentation that will take you back literally to our calling, to the ministry, what it looked like, what we looked like. And we were different people back then. We jumped into the ministry at age 34 and 38 and moved from Tennessee to Texas. And most of you know our story. But what you're going to see here is what missions looks like on the ground. And you get our prayer letters every week. You see pictures. But you haven't seen a lot of what we're about to show you here this morning. So let me begin here in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. I thought this was very fitting. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So, Father, we bless you and thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation that we all know and own on our own. And we thank you for missions, for giving us not only the joy and the task and responsibility, but Father, the calling that goes with it. And we realize we're all called. We're all ambassadors for Christ. But we thank you for, well, I don't know, special callings. I personally thank you for our own. That the way you came and approached us and drew us into it. So we give you all the praise and glory, and I pray that you'll honor this presentation now in Jesus' name. Amen. Can all of you see the screen? Sorry for putting all of you back. I know that was a great imposition to move you forward. But you've got 7 days to get over it. And we'll get you back to normality. Probably not all of you are familiar with the Joshua Project. Some of you might be. But in 1990, I was made aware of the Joshua Project. And there were more people being saved in Africa than any continent in the world. And there were more people being saved in India than any country in the world. So finding out where God was working, we joined him. And I'm trying to get in sync with this. This is the picture of our front gates. I wish I could take all of you to our campus. It's 5 acres. It's 200 fruit trees on it. Different fruits. We've been members here for 38 years, and some of you here have seen us, seen me moving out, in and out of this church, and you don't know where I'm going. You see me returning and don't know what's happened. But these are some of the countries where I've worked in. We're about to go to Kenya. GHI started as a result of me working with another evangelist named Shad Williams. And Shad literally taught me how to present the gospel in a very succinct way. Because you don't always have maybe 15 minutes with a crowd. And you have to know how to get in and get out. We would preach in this spot across from the rail station, across from the U.S. Embassy every day, because it'd be a different crowd coming. This factory is on a lunch break. And that's Ben Bahati, my interpreter. Ben's dead now. He was killed in an automobile wreck. But he was the director for Shad. This is in a market in a village town near Eldoret. In Africa, when people come to the Lord, they put up both hands like this. These people would not be found in a church. And that's why we go to them. Every meeting that we do, in every setting, we have national pastors that are there with us to accommodate the people that come forward. And what you don't see is the meetings after this. And we do the follow-up there on the ground. And then the pastors get all of their names to do the follow-up. The guy who is the director of the Southern Baptist work just outside of Nairobi is a guy named Ronald Reagan. Thought you'd like that one. This is one of the pastors. You know what good news is, don't you? Nod your head. Okay, good news is good news if it gets there in time. This is just a brief synopsis of the outline that we preach. Most of you that know me, what you've heard about me has ties to India. But very few of you knew that we were in Ghana for 25 years and had teams working there. The director of our work in Ghana, when I met him, he shared his ministry. He would go to the bus stop with his horns, his amplifier, his microphones, all the gear that he needed, and put it in a box. And wherever he was going, they would put it on top of the bus. And he'd go there, sometimes having to change buses, with about 50 people on the bus, hanging off the bus. Chickens, goats, everything. And he'd go there and preach the gospel, do the Jesus film, get into the schools, and then stay there for about 2 months. So when I met him, we had a real kindred spirit, needless to say. So I said, how would you feel about coming on board with us? I'd like to give you, you know, a truck, speakers, projectors, and all of this. And so we just said, right, we're going to do this together. And then we met another guy, and actually two more. And one of them, I caught him stealing money from me, so I let him go. You've got to keep these guys accountable. So anyway, the work began in 1994. That's a very familiar setting. We'd pull up in our trucks. That's Eugene on the left. The third guy going left to right is Moses. He's in heaven now. At the end of every gospel presentation in Ghana, we would present an AIDS presentation. I won't go into a lot of detail on that, but that's very, very necessary in Africa. These six churches that were built, the money came out of the old Dudley Jackson class, that's now the ambassador class. People came forward and said, yes, I want to build a church. And within about a month, I made a presentation. In about a month, these people came bringing me money saying, I want to build a church. I don't want my name on it, just I want to build a church. That's what they look like. This is why we go after the young people in the schools. After these teams were formed, it was not necessary for me to go there 3 or 4 times a year. They would be on their own. And they would send me monthly reports. We would do our best to schedule a medical team from Corley Boo Hospital in Accra. Brother Sam, who is the top physician surgeon there, was a real aggressive, born-again believer. So he promised every time we would come, he'd try to put a team with us t- to go in and do medical missions. We used to be able to do this in America, go into our schools and preach the gospel. But if you remember, most of you are my age, you remember 1960, 61, when prayer was taken out of the schools. And with that, they said, no, you can't come in anymore and preach the gospel. You can in India, you can in Africa. That was the beginning of the downhill, greasy slope for America to pull away from God. That's Eugene. Now, Dottie wrote this. Back in 1978, if you bought a ticket as an Indian for a flight, saying going from Bombay to Bijawada, it didn't mean that you went on that flight today. They would not tell you when you could get on that flight. And that's what was happening here. This is Indians reaching their own people. We baptized one of these little boys here while we were there in September. He had a flaming testimony. I wish you could have heard it. when our former director, James, started working in this area where we are now, the Church of South India was committed to us. They would do the follow-up, the nurturing in all these villages. And after about a year, they said, we're done. And the pastors who were coming out there to do this said, they don't give us anything for coming. And so we had an agreement with us, with them on the front end. So James started this little training college. It was training school first. And he got his material from Dallas Seminary. It was dumbed down a little bit for, you know, village people. But we had to have some nurturing process in the villages. So James started this little training 2-year diploma school. And this is the first class. The one on the front row on your right is a guy named Emmanuel. We ordained him in September. He has a master's in theology from our college. You'll recognize that name, I'm sure. 2006. The Indians are good, you know, they're just fanatical about dedicating things. So they asked Tommy if he would dedicate it and pray over the classrooms and the library. By the way, we had 6,000 books, theological books, given by people in this area. Lewis Filewood, George Dixon, and others that are in that library now. Tommy came over and did a 2-day Bible conference on the Holy Spirit. And one of the guys from one of the seminaries around there, the Lutheran, I'll just go ahead and say it, he came to Tommy afterwards and asked him for his notes. And he said, we do not teach the Holy Spirit in our seminaries. I don't know how you can get saved without the Holy Spirit bringing you to Christ. But it was a revelation to him. It's our first group. And one of the boys that's in there, and Priya, who is now the girls warden over the orphanage, the girls side of it, is in there. And they came to us, her family and another family were deserted by their parents. So we had them for 12 years and brought them up. They got saved. They said, we want to be a part of what you're doing. So we put them in college, and they did their bachelor's and then their master's. And Priya has gone on and done a master's in social work. I need to move on. These are our present ministries. Sam and Faye both have 2 bachelor degrees. Sam has 3 masters. Fema has 2 masters. And Sam is completing his PhD. So these are people that are a lot smarter than you and me. Okay? Sorry. I can speak for myself. And there's the college. the entrance to it. These are our four courses: certificate, diploma. No, you can't. COVID wiped out all the colleges, closed them down throughout India, colleges, universities. And then everybody went to extensions so we could keep up, you know, the program. They would come in once a month. That's Sam teaching. That's our chapel. Here's some new students just came in a couple of weeks before we landed there. We were in these long velvet robes in 90-degree weather, and Dottie put makeup on before she went out there, and it slid off her face. And these are all the graduates and those that we ordained with the faculty staff. I'm on slide 83 of 156. Read quick. That's the new boys' orphanage that's in being built. Many of you here help build that orphanage for the boys. Cost $80,000. This is the old entrance signage. That's our daughter, 2016. She was over there with me. By the way, anybody want to go to India, just let me know. You can go there and hug on the orphans. They'll give you their testimony. boys are dancing during one of the programs. This is Dottie and Fema buying out the store. These little girls wept over these dresses. Some of these boys in this picture came from families where they were abused, and they did not know how to receive love. And they would stand there rigid and break your heart. This is me preaching at Christ the King School in September. That's Fema interpreting for me. Sam knows I prefer her than him. The girl in the center is went brain dead. No. This is Dottie in September. These were the topics that were requested. You can imagine preparing for this. I did a pastor's conference. She had 130, I had 35. That's me and Sam. Now, this was one of the most profitable things we did with all the pastors, their wives. They had so many questions about how to minister to the people around them in certain areas of life. Do you want to talk to that? People in this classroom helped build this church and the parsonage. you gave. There's a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment, parsonage, above the church. Everything in India has to be dedicated. Everything. If they build an outdoor toilet on the edge of another building, they dedicate. I'm serious. Yeah, they get a couple of new cows in. They dedicate the cows to the Lord. I'd start off in English, it'd go to Tamil, it'd go to Telugu. How many pastors and our convention stays 17 years. VBS. We do that annually and move it around. We were in 8 locations last year where the villages could feed into it. And that's Richard doing door-to-door with his wife, Beulah. That's one of our Bible college girls. Every weekend they're out in the villages. That's all our pastors. We're missing one. Come to India and we'll teach you how to sew. Yeah. The one on the far left and the one in the center in the blue, sleeveless. This is them 5 or 6 years ago. These are orphan girls. Now watch this. The girl in the blue made the dress for the girl on the left. One of those girls was sexually abused, put out on the street by their parents. Rescued. We had a torrential rain that lasted 5 hours, blew down the retaining wall behind the orphanage. They would start clapping. They had never clapped 85 times for anybody. I was clapping. In fact, I started going like this. Can you read what's written there? Jesus saves. I met this guy outside our hotel about 1995. I couldn't believe it. And he gave me his testimony. So he drives all over Madras. Jesus saves on the back. What's on the back of your car? Hey, we're done. Thank you so much for your patience. Now you know what we do, what we look like. We're not done. We're not done. And I know you're not done. Father, thank you again for missions, for putting it in our hearts. We want to be part of the nations, the tribes, the tongues. And we will be. But now we know the people that will be there with us, that have been reached as a result of people in this room. So we praise you. In Christ's name, amen.